This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Sarah Scholes, my long involved question. The UFO contactee, what's your assessment?
Yeah, that's a hard question. First I will say I don't know. And in my own research, I didn't do very much with direct contactees or abductees or experiencers. But I think my best assessment that I would have is that it is probably some version of all of the above. Just like with UFOs, you know, there are some things people are seeing that are readily explainable, some things that are classified military aircraft, some things that we don't know. And I think the same is probably true of whatever is going on with people's contact. Yeah. Which is a non-answer, I know, but I'm trying to weasel my way out of it.
No, that was a pretty good non-answer.
She's done a good way of weaseling herself out of it. I want to ask you, since we talk about government experiences and government experimentations, do you have a feeling at all? I don't know how far you've gone back in studying the field, that from time to time people see secret weapons, whatever, test aircraft, and the government would rather have them say it's UFOs or UAPs to divert attention, a deliberate operation?
Yeah, I had numerous people tell me that had gone on specifically in relation to Area 51 and the aircraft developed there. When I went out there and spoke to a guy named Jorg Arnu, who's lived there for a long time and helped organize the group of, you know, pilots and engineers who used to work there, they talk about how the military and intelligence community would kind of not necessarily sow disinformation about what was going on, but like foster the UFO interpretations that were already there, so that if you just let people think that when they're seeing a classified aircraft that it might be a UFO in the traditional sense of the term, then they're not going to pay the same kind of attention to it as they would if it were a secret weapon or a really cool plane. And also the people they tell, lots of them aren't going to believe them. So it's kind of a passive way of diverting attention, I guess. And that's not hard for me to believe that went on.
I think that touches on something pretty important. You know, there has long been a certain camp that has said, well, UFOs are really secret aircraft. And it's not a good explanation, not for everything. I don't think any answer is good for everything. But that does explain some things. And I happened to run across this a ufologist who was an ex-military analyst for NSA. And he was on the secret aircraft thing. And he thought in particular, this explained some of the sightings of border incursions, where you had a spy plane or something going across. They didn't want to say anything about it. And he gave a specific example that was pretty good. There was a UFO report in 2008 in Iran. And I think something subsequently came out that proved that was one of our planes. But there was absolute silence from the Air Force. And it's just, as you say, it was a passive cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you make a good point also that it doesn't explain everything. It's maybe an interesting subset, but not all of it.
Going back to just before the break, when we were talking about ufology as a religion, it's really nice to hear that you don't lump all UFO believers into that camp. Because, you know, while I know of UFO cases where UFOs have been tracked on radar, I don't know of any cases where Jesus has been tracked on radar.
Oh, I do. I can't tell you about them.
Oh, I see. Oh, all right. They're on a need-to-know basis only.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about the culture, which is so much of your book, have you run into an overlap. Well, for example, did you happen to run into any Bigfoot people, or there are other belief systems of, you know, that are similar and also lack the evidence, you know, whether it's Loch Ness Monster or whatever. Did you run into any those people? I mean, it may never come up in your research, but there's, you know, even among UFO conferences, they deal in crop circles and some other things that are not directly related. So what did you find about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think that I spent, at least maybe some people I knew did have those overlapping beliefs, but we didn't talk about them. But I think there was kind of a demographic book I read, whose name is escaping me, but it was about just who believes in different things that are vaguely paranormal, and that one of the biggest predictors of whether you believed in one kind of paranormal thing was whether you believed in another, just like how to tell the way you'll vote on a certain issue is how you voted on another issue and what party you're part of. But what I more ran across was, and this doesn't apply to everyone I talked to at all, but that people were more likely to believe in conspiracy theories, different, mostly government related conspiracy theories, if they were deep into UFOs. But again, not everyone. And I think that makes sense to me, because in ufology, like we've talked about, there's a huge history of a reason to have a distrust of the government and government information and government investigations. And so once you have a good reason to stop trusting the information that's given to you, then it's like a smaller step to think, well, maybe this other information I'm getting is also not accurate. And that, I don't know, I feel like that's a reasonable reaction to have.
I have an interesting opinion that comes through whenever we consider distrust of the government. We're seeing that now with the coronavirus and how it was handled and the spin about that, which is that if our government admitted tomorrow that extraterrestrials are visiting us, a very substantial portion of the population would disbelieve it. Don't you think?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it would be interesting to know which percentage that would be. Like, if it's the people who do believe in UFOs more now and distrust what the government is saying, then would they also distrust the admission, or would it be the people who didn't believe in the first place?
I wanted to jump in about that. I'm really interested in how certain UFO ideas originated. And one of the things I kind of gave up on investigating after spending a lot of time on it was, how did the government cover up idea begin, the distrust related to it? And so I went back and was just kind of looking for similar terms in the 40s, and I found it probably goes back much further than this, but I found people asking a question like, why isn't the government telling us about FM radio? And then the same thing with the atomic energy, because there was a lot of confusion and mystery over that, you know, because, you know, that the Manhattan Project, it kept a secret. So people didn't know. It was suddenly introduced into their lives. It had been kept secret by the government, and atomic energy was a big one. But even FM radio, you know, they thought the government was holding something back, wouldn't tell them how it's used. And of course, some people thought the waves were going to interfere with their brains and things. But so this goes much further back than UFOs. It isn't exclusive to it. And I'm sure in your research you came across the CIA study, and they even likened it to the Kennedy assassination. And that once the idea is rolling, it's never going to be let go. There are certain, it's going to be repeated and believed. So did you have any thoughts related to that?
Yeah. I think the biggest one that comes up for me is that once, like you say, it kind of takes hold. The disbelief and distrust takes hold, there's almost nothing that can dislodge it, because it becomes unfalsifiable. Like if then the government comes out and says we have aliens, that could just be propaganda. And if they say they don't, then they're hiding them. And
we have to hide something else here, folks. And then we'll get back to this question with Gene Sarah Randall Curtis in
The Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a one-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Sorry I had to cut you short there, Sarah, but we have this polarized society. We have facts and alternative facts. Two different versions, and that's why I raised the question, but I don't think, obviously, it was true for now, and we can go back through the years about the opposition to government positions. A lot of the modern UFO era
emerges from the writings of Major Donald Kehoe. Had you ever looked into those?
Yes, some. It's been a while since I've looked at them directly. It was early on in my research, but I did look at them, yeah.
And he early on, back in the mid-50s, wrote a book called The Flying Saucer Conspiracy. And that says it all. There was a silence group within the government that knew UFOs were spaceships, and he had to properly lobby them to get them to confess. But then again, Kehoe had this organization called NICAP that he took control over, and there certainly have been stories over the years that NICAP may have been a government front, because one of the board people on Kehoe's organization was the first head of the CIA, who was a classmate of Kehoe's. So there you go with that.
Yeah, it's suspicious. If the government came out tomorrow and said, we have the aliens, how do you all think people would react? Because you hear both sides, that people would freak out and society would collapse. And you also hear people would be happy, and you also hear that nothing would happen. So I'm curious what side you all fall on.
That's what this COVID-19 is really all about. The aliens are coming. They want us all indoors. And pretty soon they're going to land.
You know, I really don't know. There are all sorts of reactions that are possible. Here's what's going to happen. People are going to try to make a buck off of it. There's going to be a tourist industry. That's what people are going to do. They're going to exploit it.
The obvious, yeah. Which TV crew can get there first? For sure.
Always true, yeah.
Which is why they're keeping us all indoors. You know, so
let's face it, there are people who maintain this is some kind of plot. I mean, early on, we have certain people that we shall not name who said it was really a plot by a certain political party to cause trouble for the other person who represents the other political party. So it was a political plot before everybody embraced it. But even then, I guess if you haven't suffered from this condition, you could say, well, obviously it's a fake, and if you have, it's just a flu. So there you go. It depends on whom you believe. And again, with UFOs, we have the same thing. But then again, another interesting aspect, I don't know if you've followed this, is the feeling that over the years, the government has done psyops operations. Early on, some of the early sightings, the ghost rockets, the Roswell case, there's a former MUFON director, James Carrion, who wrote a book called The Roswell Deception and also The Rosetta Deception, saying this was psyops to spook the Russians in some fashion. So you can see where that belief may have emerged.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, basically, more seriously, what would happen is that, like we were talking about before, there's this whole range of evidence that is required for different people to believe the claim. And so there would be, just like there are people today who don't believe we landed on the moon or that the Earth is a sphere, there would be certain people who, short of getting on a mothership and having a tour, would just think it's not really happening. It's some sort of ploy or deception created by probably the government or something like that.
Even if they came aboard a UFO, they think it was a fake.
Yeah, there probably are a few who just simply wouldn't believe it at all. Yeah, I've had discourse with some of them. They would just claim that they were having some sort of a hallucination, or it just never happened, or they would just refuse to go. They'd get into that state of cognitive dissonance where it just isn't happening, and they'd go back to playing their golf game or whatever it is that they were doing. You know, so unless it landed right on the green, right in front of them, and their golf ball bounced off and they had to go up and complain to, you know, the UFO not that, like, look, you're ruining my game, they just simply wouldn't believe it.
You know, we mentioned politics, and I don't want to talk about that. But, Sarah, did you happen to interact with any politicians or even just government figures besides the Pentagon interview and in your research?
No, I didn't. That would be an interesting future direction, but I didn't, unfortunately, this time. Have you?
No, but there's one UFO researcher, Grant Cameron, who makes he's going to cite presidential UFO. You know, anytime the word, even if a president makes a joke about UFOs, he catalogs it and thinks it's of ultimate importance. So I think that's a little over the top there. But it is interesting sometimes that, you know, what has been said. But as far as your official reaction, that was interviews. It was limited to the Pentagon. You didn't happen to talk to, well, I don't know, did you reach any Navy or Air Force pilots or anything like that?
I did not during the research, but I have read their accounts in other sources. And I think politicians in general, especially at the lower levels, they're probably kind of a somewhat representative subset of the rest of us, and that there's a certain percentage of them who are just naturally interested in UFOs and would like to have more information. And I mean, like the things that Grant Cameron catalogs, you know, there are incoming presidents who joke about releasing the UFO files and campaign managers who are super into it and lobby to get information released. And so I think there's a fair amount of interest within government, just like there is outside of it.
Of course, you're talking about John Podesta, Hillary Clinton, yes. Bill Clinton. But we've had this situation over the years where a presidential candidate or president says, yeah, they're going to get to the bottom of it. And that statement goes through the black hole. And no one ever hears from it again. They don't answer it. And those who are president now will say, well, I don't know, or something like that. I think when Sarah Huckabee Sanders was the PR person, the press secretary for President Trump, she was asked, what does he think about UFOs? She said she would ask him. And that was the beginning and end of that comment.
I want to chime in on Bill Clinton. So, you know, you mentioned Hillary. Well, Bill Clinton initiated some UFO research. We were talking earlier about the CIA report by Haynes. Another thing that came out of that was that Roswell report. Ufologists hate both of those. Bill Clinton was trying to find out UFO secrets, and this came out mostly negative information. Do we really want politicians stirring things up? And do we want answers from the government? Yeah, I don't want a ministry of truth. I think, science, and evidence, and hopefully ufologists will provide the information and let people decide. But I really don't want the government ruling on the reality of anything beyond whether or the fact or not there are objects out there that we can't explain.
We got to break it here, and we'll continue with that. Kurt, Sarah, Jean, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Vice President Mike Pence and wife Karen tested for the coronavirus because one of Pence's staff members has tested positive.
If you don't have symptoms, don't do a test. It is another way that the American people can make sure that we are preserving the resources that our healthcare workers need to minister and to support those who are dealing with the coronavirus and other illnesses.
They tested negative for the virus. In the past 24 hours, 793 people have died in Italy.
It's not only Italy's deadliest day, but the deadliest day so far. Swamped hospitals could be our new reality, warns Dr. Michael Ryan of the World Health Organization.
This is not normal. This isn't just a bad flu season. These are health systems that are collapsing under the pressure of too many cases.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly, is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product, and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Well, we can always speculate here, but the other speculation, maybe Grant Cameron would follow that, Sarah, is that when the president takes office, somebody from a specific project, a black budget project, comes over to him and cites him the Riot Act and why he can never utter a serious word about the subject ever again. Now, obviously, that's a paranoid theory. On the other hand, if a president takes office and he learns certain secrets like that, something that could really change everything on this planet, how would he or she react anyway? Would they agree or decide it had to keep it under wraps for the time being?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not president, so I don't know. But I think it's one of those things also that lets us keep looking to the government for answers and keep thinking that there are more. There is stuff like that where somebody says, I'm going to go get that information as a campaign promise, and then it just totally disappears. And so you can say things like a paranoid theory, or you could say, oh, they didn't find anything in it, and so it wasn't interesting. But I like Kurt's idea of getting away from the idea of a ministry of truth, because no matter what any government revealed about anything, you would never be able to know if it was the whole truth that they had or the whole truth that was out there. And so I do feel like it's more productive to keep going at it outside and not wait for someone to hand us all the information that they have.
I'm really with you on that, Sarah. Absolutely. And yeah, some really good points there, Kurt, for sure. And this sort of takes us right back to the beginning. Now, in your book, when we were talking about belief earlier in the show, you say in your book, if I had a poster on my wall, it would say, I don't want to have to believe, as opposed to, of course, we all know the I want to believe. You say, I would love to think UFOs are out there and that aliens pilot them, but I'm incapable of thinking that unless I know it. So what for you then would be that evidence that is sufficient for you to justify that belief in the claim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Going back to our previous semantic argument, I guess I would say that I'm on the higher end of the amount of evidence that it would take for me to move from faith to knowledge.
Kind of evidence? So, like, let's get into, you were saying, well, okay, I think you touched on it briefly that, well, you know, there are skeptics and scientists out there that say that firsthand experience doesn't count as data or as evidence. There are others who say it does. Where mm-hmm. are you on that spectrum?
Yeah, I think it would be hard for me to take any person's experience on its own as evidence that was enough for me, just because I don't really trust our brains or our interpretations of the world, which I think are always contingent on a lot of things and bad at remembering and bad at interpreting. So it would be hard for me to take a personal experience as enough data. If we combine that, you know, with some radar returns or some fast shutter satellite images or things like that, then maybe we're talking. But I think an interesting question that I don't totally know the answer to is, how would I react if the personal experience were mine? Like, would I have as much doubt of my own experience, or would I say, yeah.
Yeah, suppose there were sufficient evidence for you, then it might not be while you're out watching the sky, I suppose, then. Would a report be sufficient, or would you have to have a personal experience as well? Like, how far does it have to go for you? Then if you can't believe anyone else's report, then obviously you need your own.
Well, I don't know if I would even believe my own is also what I'm saying. I think, because if I'm going to be that hard on other people, I should also be that hard on myself. So,
would you admit yourself in to a place of treatment?
I might. I don't know. Or maybe I'd be like Jodie Foster in Contact, and I would say, well, now I do know because it's my personal experience. And I'm not sure. I think I'd have to be in the situation to know how I would react.
In the course of your surveys, and we only have a segment and a half left, and probably we'll want to cover this further in a future episode, Sarah, I expect that you ran across some people who were strictly in the UFO field for the buck. Did you pay much attention to that in terms of your coverage?
I mostly stayed away, I think, from reporting on, or from in-depth interviews with people who seemed to be in it for the money. I was more interested in people who were in it for their own internal reasons. I would say that I did turn a pretty harsh gaze to the Stars Academy, the corporation that kind of spun, not exactly spun out of the Pentagon program, but has a lot of the people involved who were associated with that program. And they are a public benefit corporation, but they're out to make a profit. And I think that because they are the biggest show in town right now, collecting money from people, I wanted to find out what it was those people's money was going toward. But other than that, it was mostly just regular people.
To the Stars Academy, we know that Tom DeLonge is allegedly worth $50 million. So he's the front man of Blink 182. He's a mid-level rock star because we have people who are worth more than he is, hundreds of millions, and a certain former Beatle, like $1.5 billion. But then again, is this simply a business to make money? I mean, the site is terrible. You have no idea if you visit that site what it's for.
Yeah, I mean, I think they raised a lot less money than they were hoping to. And I agree that if you went to the site, and I think part of it is that they're trying very hard not to say UFO on the site, which makes it hard to tell what they're actually about. But you raise an interesting question of why would Tom DeLonge need money? And if he needed money to fund this operation, why wouldn't he just fund it himself if he has $50 million? So, but I don't know. He did not want to talk to me, so I don't have those answers.
I like the way that you put it in your book. At one point, when you were talking about conferences and the various speakers, One of them was Cheryl Costa, and we've had her on the show. And it, you say in your book, and this is to quote, Costa is practical, not in awe of herself like other speakers. And this salvo encapsulates her attitude. Who's flying them, she asks herself. Now, you know, for me, this is in sharp contrast to someone like Stephen Greer or, you know, who you also mentioned, or Tom DeLonge also. Greer seems to be a sort of wannabe Real, if you know. Do you know who Real is at all?
I don't actually know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That, now we're talking actual serious UFO religion. So, the Raelians, they... are a serious UFO religion. And these people all, like you say, there are some of them that just seem to be in awe of themselves. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more yourself? Because I'd just love to hear this.
Yeah, I think I try not to get myself in trouble.
We want trouble.
Okay, can I just set this down? Let's tape this in stereo so we can get you in double trouble. Listen, seriously speaking, we're going to break in about 30 seconds, so I'd rather not have you get in trouble in this particular segment. Let's wait to the final segment to get you in trouble. Then you'll really have no choice there to do anything about it, except maybe come back to the show, tell us your future plans, maybe try to call down ET and see if they'll just take you away, or at least give you a pancake or something. I'm kind of semi-serious here. Sarah Scholes is the author of They Are Already Here, UFO Culture, and Why We See Saucers. Well, I haven't seen any, so that's a good question. Sarah Jean Randall and Curtin, you're in.
The Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So you had my comment in that segment. Do you have any response, Sarah?
Yeah, I do. I think that what I mean is when I saw Cheryl Costa speak, she wasn't trying to make her speech about herself or about the cult of personality around her or her personal brand or anything. She just had some information that she had gathered that she wanted to present. And I see that as in contrast to people like Tom DeLonge. Or, as you mentioned, Stephen Greer, just people who have created a name for themselves and become a kind of UFO celebrity for who they are, in addition to the work they do. So their personal brand and air of mystery and knowledge and being in possession of something that other people are not in possession of. And so it becomes more about who they are than what they are talking about, I think, a lot of times. And I mean, you find that in any kind of celebrity, I think, in any field. So it's nothing new under the sun in ufology.
Well, I know that Tom DeLonge, based on the public comments I've heard, has not contributed an iota to anything in the UFO field, even though he claims to have read all the books, which means he would have had to read one book a second. Maybe he reads one word from each book, and then he puts it down, goes to the next book, and he reads the next word, and that's how he does his research. He knows a word a book.
Do you get the impression that maybe we have a similar sort of sentiment here on the Paracast to you, Sarah, and with respect to these people, like, that tend to hold out their hands for money, especially big money, and, you know, charge people to... We've got people like Greer who charge people to go out on these field trips, and it's quite a substantial amount for some people to do. We know from other people in the field who've also been out doing field trips nearby that really he's kind of trying to convince people that aircraft that are flying over at 40,000 feet are UFOs.
Yeah.
This is a problem. This is a serious problem. I mean, we might make light of it, but I really personally think it's a serious problem.
It's taking advantage of people and their money and exploiting the ideas and interests that they have. And I think, you know, technically a journalist's job is to hold the powerful to account and kind of stick up for the little guy. And that is why I took the most critical look at the people who were taking money from other people.
How about those who you believe are sincere? Oh, and before we get to the end of the show here, I just have to ask you, why the title, They Are Already Here? Now, what exactly and who are you referring to there?
That's a good question, because I feel like it was a phrase that I heard, especially dealing with SETI, I think, when people ask, you know, why are you looking for aliens with those telescopes? They're already here. So I feel like you hear it a lot in culture. So they would be aliens. And it's not meant to imply that it's true. I don't think that they are already here, but I think it's a phrase that was catchy. And to be totally honest, I wrote, you know, before you write a book proposal and you make up a title and you expect the publisher to change it. And it turns out they just didn't change mine. So that's really how it ended up.
It's a good one.
Thank you.
You said that you've heard it before. I've heard it before, although in contracted form. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. The guy is going out. They're already here.
I like that. I haven't actually seen that. I need to watch that.
Oh, my. You know, hang up now and go watch it.
I know. No. I might. I'm stuck in my house, so I might as well.
Yeah. Okay, the remake starred Leonard Nimoy. Oh, by the way, since we've reached that point here where we're running out of time, having taken this journey, Sarah, is this it for you? You wrote the book, or you now feel you've become a ufologist yourself and you have to explore and see what's going on?
I think I remain an outsider. I wouldn't call myself a ufologist, but I don't think I'm done with the topic. And I actually have a number of Freedom of Information Act requests still out there that will come back to me. So I will at least write about those and, I don't know. I enjoy following the ufologists around the internet, and so I'll keep an eye on what everybody's talking about, and hopefully when something interesting pops up, write about it.
Do you expect to maybe grow old and see that nothing has ever been solved? It just goes on endlessly?
Yes, I do. Do you?
Well, I've already grown old, so therefore I have seen nothing happen. I liken a lot of what we hear today to Major Kehoe in the 50s. So we go back 60 years. Nothing has changed. Yes, now we kind of agree that UFOs maybe don't come from Mars or Venus. But the basic fundamentals of what they were saying then have been repeated through the years with not that many changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Or at least you have to wait and see.
I'm one of the believers.
I've seen one. I've done my homework. I'm one of the believers. And it doesn't, you know, take just a small amount of information to turn me into a believer. But, I mean, with all the people out there who are believers, who have good reasons to believe, at least according to them, how many does it take to make a person seriously question why they're still skeptical at this stage? I mean, I can understand people being skeptical about individual cases, but after thousands and all of this, the rest of it that goes along with it, maybe what you need to do is actually talk to more witnesses who have had firsthand experiences, who believe that they have seen something from out of this world, and see how many you have to go through before you finally say to yourself, they're not all lying and something really must be going on.
Maybe that's my next project.
That's what turned Alan Hynek around. He started off as an astronomer, skeptic. And of course, I'm sure you probably know who that is. After the weight of all of the people that he interviewed, and some of them just outright telling him, unless you see one yourself, who are you to judge what I have seen and what I know? Even though he hadn't seen one himself, after enough people, it seems that any reasonable person in the world, and this implies that people who don't believe are unreasonable, I know, but I do think that any reasonable person will have to say, hey, something is definitely going on and it's not our. Do you think that point will come for you if you do enough research?
I can't say that for sure, but I do think there's something going on, and I do think that I don't know what it is. We can at least agree on that. And I can agree that I should yeah. probably read more and talk to more people who have direct experience and see what happens.
Sarah Scholes, please tell our listeners if they want to know more about the things you do. In addition, of course, to writing this book, where do they go?
Sure. They can go to my website, which is www.sarahscholes.com. It has pretty much every article I've ever written, and I'm on Twitter at ScholesSarah.
And remember, the book is called They Are Already Here, UFO Culture and Why We See Saucers. They should speak for themselves. I haven't yet, and Sarah has, and we'll go on with that. Anyway, you can find us on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, look for The Paracast. We also have a couple of places on Facebook. You can look us up. We also have a place, speaking of promoting something, where you can buy branded official Paracast merchandise. Just go to theparacast.shop. Theparacast.shop. Check the listings. Now, Randall and I are still working through the site. There are some minor glitches, but all the orders will go through seamlessly if you want to place an order. And I think we offer competitive prices. We also have the Paracast Plus. What's that all about? For a low subscription rate, you get a copy of this show free of the network ads, higher bit rate, enhanced audio. You also get the After the Paracast podcast. Okay? And this week we feature Kurt Collins talking about an article he co-authored covering Robert Bigelow, MUFON, and some interesting things that went on there. To learn more, go to theparacast.plus. Theparacast.plus. Hey, Kurt, thanks for being a panelist on the show.
Oh, it was fun.
And Sarah Scholes, happy to meet you. Let's stay in touch, shall we?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I had fun, too.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.